A lot of wires. I forgot my jacket this morning. It sort of hides all the wires, but left it behind. I don't know. Do you think the microphone's high enough? Oh, sorry, I don't need the microphone. I forgot. Last week I forgot, and I was pretending I was using it. All right, well, is this great or what? Look around, folks. Whoa. We figured, 100, 110, we put up 140 chairs, and we had to add about another 30 chairs. I have no idea how many is here. I started counting, I stopped at 140. That's great. A couple of announcements before I get started. Number one, we're trying to start a focused Spanish group here. You might have noticed that. Awesome. So we started a campus outreach, we started a teen thing, now we're going to start a campus thing. Spanish thing. So my house at 1 o'clock. Anybody interested in being involved in the Spanish ministry, come to our house. Chris will give the address later on. You don't have to plan on being in a Spanish speaking Bible group to do that. We're not going to actually officially launch the ministry until everything's laid out. So probably soon we'll start a Spanish Bible study, but it's not sure. Another announcement is we officially have our interns for the summer. Josh, Father E, stand up. He was leading this class earlier. All right. Joelle, her name is Joelle. She's not here. She's from the Lighthouse region in L.A. It's going to be awesome. So it's going to be John, Jan, Joelle, and Josh. So that'll, make it easy. Great. So the sermon this morning is from Ezekiel 37. Let's start by turning to Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 1. Now, Ezekiel's one of the harder books in the Old Testament to get into, but I started teaching a class on it about 4 or 5 years ago, and I fell in love with the book of Ezekiel. One of the problems with Ezekiel, I remember I was teaching it in Manila in the Philippines, and it was, I think it was like about a 12, 14-hour long class. So the first 8 hours was the first day, and that's Ezekiel 1 through about, around chapter 32. And basically, every one of those chapters is, you're all sinners, and God's coming, and He's going to judge you. It's just because the whole time. It's just a lot of judgment and sin, and just, you guys are just really totally messed up. And that was the end of the day. We sent him home. It's like, because most of the hopeful things about the resurrection and about God coming and taking over and making it all right, it starts in like chapter 33. So we're going to do chapter 37. And in our Bible talk in San Diego, what we would do is we just start in the chapter 1 through the end of books. That's how kind of what we did. So doing Ezekiel, it got kind of tough for a while, A few weeks in a row, people showing up. Trust me, just read, say, Ezekiel 23 and all those things. But here it says in Ezekiel 1:1, in the 30th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day, while I was among the exiles by the Kebar River, the heavens were opened, and I saw the vision of God. This is Ezekiel's call to the prophetic office. And interesting, I like to throw in those interesting little facts. He had just turned 30. Ezekiel's life was geared towards becoming a priest. And in Israel, you became a priest at the age of 30. So his whole life, he's like, I'm going to be a priest. I'm going to be a priest. I'm going to be a priest. He turns 30 and God says, too bad, you're going to be a prophet. And if you know much about Ezekiel, being a prophet was a lot harder job than being a priest. Have you ever gone through a dry time in your life? Yes. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt hopeless? Like you wanted to practically give up? That was the situation for Judah during this time. Because what Ezekiel prophesied, see, he's already in exile. King Nebuchadnezzar had come because they'd rebelled in 597 BC. King Nebuchadnezzar came by and he took 10,000, the cream of the crop, took them as captives. So they're living as slaves and captives in a foreign land. And Ezekiel doesn't exactly have great news because his prophecy is that the temple will be destroyed. And in Ezekiel 7, 8, and 9, you see the gross, disgusting sin that was being done right there in the temple. So in Ezekiel 10, God leaves the temple, abandoning it, and effectively abandoning the city of Jerusalem. And soon thereafter, as prophesied by Ezekiel again and again and again, Nebuchadnezzar came and destroyed the city. The situation appeared hopeless. God's people were in captivity. Many, many had been killed. The wall was torn down. The temple had been abandoned. You know what? That was you and that was me at one time. We were slaves. We had no relationship with God. We started out innocent as children, didn't we? And we sinned. And we were taken into captivity. And we were in a hopeless situation. Let's go to Ezekiel 37. God doesn't mind a hopeless situation. Because then it forces us to rely on Him. This is a kingdom prophecy. We did 2 weeks on the kingdom. And by the way, I mentioned in one of my sermons, we used to do a kingdom study back in the day. And I mentioned there's a couple like minor problems with that. So what I did was I fixed it. And there's a new version of the kingdom study back there on the table. Take a copy. There's about 60 or 70 copies. So yeah, AV people, you can take along with you if you want. Okay, great. Let's start in Ezekiel 37, verses 1 and 2. The hand of the Lord was on me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and He set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw great many bones on the floor of the valley. Bones that were very dry. You see the reference to Frankenstein, right? He's alive! All right, well, I don't know. Valley of dry bones. Folks, that's a hopeless place. You know what? At one time, my life was a valley of dry bones. I had no love of God. My life was devastated by sin. And I was in a hopeless situation. Because you know what? You can't save yourself. God said to the Jews, those who do these things will live by them. And I didn't do those things. So I wasn't living by them. Hopeless. That was you. And that was me. Without God. In slavery. The temple torn down. God had left that place. He did abandon them. And he asked me, son of man, can these bones live? Now, if God asked you, can these bones live? The best thing to do would be to do what Ezekiel did. He said, sovereign Lord, you alone know. Very smart. All right, you alone know. So if God ever asks you something, the best answer is to say, you alone know, O God. What about your neighbor? Can these bones live? For some of us, what about your marriage? Can these bones live? Your spiritual life? Can these bones live? Your children who have left God and are out in the world? Can these bones live? Caught up in addiction? Can these bones live? Well, let's find out. Let's read. Verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones, to this life destroyed by sin. Say to that life, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You know what the first step in getting life to those dead bones? You need to hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Have you been hearing the word of the Lord? Can you be brought back to life? Can you be rescued from the slavery that you're in? Dry bones. Hear the word of the Lord. By listening. In James 1, 22 through 25, he says, don't merely hear the words, but put them into practice. Isaiah 6, 9, Jesus quoted in Matthew and Mark, he said, they're hearing, but they're not listening. Are you listening? If your life is caught up in slavery, the first step, we need to listen to the Lord. Let's read what happens. So apparently, I'm sure Ezekiel might have felt a little foolish preaching to a bunch of dry, dead bones. But remember, that was you. You were those dry, dead bones. Can these bones live? This is what the sovereign Lord said to the bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I'll put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together. Bone to bone, I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them. But there was no breath in them. Hearing the Lord of the Lord is not enough. What's missing? The Holy Spirit. The breath. In Greek, it's pneuma, breath, spirit, breath. They're not alive yet. It's kind of like there's these. It's kind of like the Walking Dead. You know, you got the Walking Dead, and the Walking Dead are by definition dead, right? I'm probably bringing some weird. Probably it's better if you don't watch that show. I admit, Jan and I actually do watch that show. I don't suggest it necessarily, but what a bizarre vision. You know, these dead, dry bones. How dead? Totally dead. Dry, dead, dusty bones. And there's some stirring. And you decided to go to church. And you decided to get some advice. And you started reading the scriptures. But you were still dead. Just like in Acts chapter 2. What should we do? He said, repent and be baptized. And what happens? You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So are they alive? No, they're still dead. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So they listened to the word. They became a disciple. They decided to follow God. They repented of their sins. And they were baptized into Christ. And what happened? They received forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. And they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. This is what God does. He gives life to the dead. Again, have you been in a hopeless situation? The word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, these will bring you back to life. God takes people who are in slavery and he gives them life. You know what the most boring part of the whole Bible is? It's Ezekiel 40 through 48. Have you read that stuff? I mean, it's like he's talking about the size of the lintel and the doorpost. What that's about is God is rebuilding the temple. And in Ezekiel 43, he says, Ezekiel's asking him, why are you showing me all this stuff? He says, so you'll be ashamed of your sin. So you'll realize that God is perfect and you're not. Because figuratively, God came back into that temple. Just as for us, if we're Christians, God will come and re-enter that temple. And that is a beautiful thing. We need that breath. We need that spirit. When we receive the Holy Spirit at baptism, we come to life. Romans 8, 9 through 11 basically says, if you do not have the Holy Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to Christ. Let's read about our life before we came into Christ. Ephesians 2, verse 1. Folks, we were dead in our sins. Bones, dry bones. That's what we brought into our life because of what we did. As for you, who? Everyone in this room? The kids left. The innocent ones, they're already gone. We have a couple innocent ones over here somewhere. Somewhere back there. A couple of them in here. We got a couple of them. That's great. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh. How many of you would that describe your life at one time? Oh, only a few. So the rest of you weren't not that's amazing. Really? I'd like to meet you. I better ask that again. You weren't paying attention. Oh my goodness. All right. It says, all of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. How many of you would have described you? Okay, that's what I thought. It's like, wow, this is a weird crowd. I didn't meet those people. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even when we are dead in our transgressions, it is by grace you've been saved. We all were the valley of dry bones. We all were hopeless. We all had no chance. But God made us alive. He made us alive in Christ. Let's read Colossians 2:13. Just flip a couple of pages. I'll start in verse 11. In him you were circumcised with a circumcision performed not by human hands. Your whole self ruled by the flesh was put off when you were circumcised by Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through your faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive. God spoke to those bones. Can those bones live? Yes. Yes, they can. We can be a bit more bold than Ezekiel, can't we? Yes, they can. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of the legal indebtedness which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Folks, this is your life if you will come into Christ. But you know what? Even in Christ, we sometimes go through a dry bones period, right? Well, guess what? It's the same formula. Hear the word of the Lord and let God's Spirit be reborn in you. Not that he leaves you, hopefully, but let's go back to Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. I'm telling you, I'm excited about Ezekiel. By the way, we started our class on Romans on Saturday, and Chris told me that he doesn't like Romans at all. Chris Pavlovsky, I don't even like that book. But you know what? He came. He heard the word of the Lord. Chris, do you like Romans now? Where's Chris? So far. All right, so far. Okay. And by the way, next Saturday at 9 o'clock, we're going to be starting Romans chapter 3. Y'all come. It's a great book. We're getting into it in depth, man. All right, Ezekiel 37, 11 through 14. Says here, then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves, bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I'm the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken. I have done it, declares the Lord. Now, this is a kingdom prophecy. And like I said, in the Old Testament, when there's kingdom prophecies, is it about Israel? Or is it about the church? Or is it about us? Or is it about heaven? And what's the answer? Yes, it's all those things. It's all those things. Now, when Israel heard this message, they said, this is us. And they got it exactly, because how was the temple doing? See, between Ezekiel chapter 1 and Ezekiel chapter 37, there's Ezekiel chapter, I think it's 32, the one where the temple gets destroyed. Might be chapter 33. Alright? So their lives were in ruins. And God says, I'm going to fix it. I can bring life to dead bones. God can give life to the dead. And just like in Alden's lesson, Jesus says, if you believe in me, you will live even though you die. If you feed upon me, you will live forever. Let's go back. Do I have permission to go back to Ezekiel 36? Good, since I'm up here, you know, I'm going to do it anyway, but thank you for saying yes. All right, Ezekiel 36. Now, this again is a kingdom prophecy. I'm just going to read verse 1, and then I'll go down to verse 22. The Son of Man prophesied to the mountains of Israel and say, mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord. Now, Ezekiel is not talking to mountains. He's talking to the kingdom. He's talking to us. He's talking to the church. Let's skip down to verse 22. I'm going to read a fairly long passage here. All right, and again, he's speaking to Israel, or to Judah, if you will, the southern kingdom. But believe me, he's speaking to us. All right? Here we go. Therefore, say to the people who are sitting in this room, this is what the sovereign Lord says. It is not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things. By the way, if you're saved, it's not because you're awesome. Let's just get it clear, all right? You were just lying around in your mess. You were dry bones. How dry? Very dry. So you're not here because you're awesome. You know, in our society, we're worried about creating good self-image. And to some extent, I kind of agree with that, actually, you know, to some extent. But I think we need a good God image. So anyway, let me read on. It's not for your sake, people of Israel, that I'm going to do these things, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations. We have gone. We were profaning God's name. That's what we were doing. And God didn't do it because we're so awesome. You know why he did it? Because of his glory. If your dry bones have been given life, if the tendons have been attached to the bones and the flesh put on the tendons and the Holy Spirit breathed in it and you're now living, it's because of God's glory. So our lives are given to God's glory, right? Yeah. I will show the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, the name you have profaned among them. Then the nations will know that I'm the Lord, declares the sovereign Lord, who, when I am proved holy through you before their eyes. For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries. I will bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove you from you the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And Lourdes, I'm sorry that I'm talking so fast. How are you keeping up? How's it going back there, Lourdes? Should I slow down a little bit?
All right. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Then you will live in the land I will give your ancestors. I gave your ancestors, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. I will save you from all your uncleanness. I will call for the grain and make it plentiful and will not bring famine upon you. I will increase the fruit of your trees and the crops of the field so that you will no longer suffer disgrace among the nations because of famine. Then you'll remember your evil ways and your wicked deeds, and you will loathe yourselves for your sins and detestable practices. I want you to know that I'm not doing this for your sake, declares the Sovereign Lord. Be ashamed and disgraced for your conduct, people of Israel. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. On the day I cleanse you from all your sins, I will resettle your towns, and the ruins will be rebuilt. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all who pass through it. They will say, this land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. The cities that were lying in ruins, desolate and destroyed, are now fortified and inhabited. Then the nations around you that remain will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed and have replanted what was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will do it. Do you, as we're reading that, did you get that God was talking about you individually? Amen. Did you get the picture? You know, in the Old Testament, the blessings are physical. So he uses physical examples, walls being built and all kind of stuff. But he's talking about your life. He's talking about what God wants to do for your life. But don't forget, it wasn't because you were so awesome. In your notes, go to Deuteronomy 7, 7 through 9. I'll have time to read that. But again, it's just God saying, let's just make it clear here, folks. You're my people. I called you out of Egypt. I called you out of slavery. I've set you free. You're going to be entering the promised land. But you need to loathe the things you did. You need to hate the sin that you did, but also embrace the life that I'm giving you. Both. He does it for the sake of his holy name, because we profaned his name. He said, you will be a remnant devoted to me. Are we here in the Bakersfield Church of Christ and the AV Reach? Is that what you guys are called? Amen. Awesome. Are you the called out remnant of God? The ones that are giving glory to God's name. He says in verse 24, I'm going to call you from all nations. This reminds us of those prophecies in the Old Testament we were reading a couple weeks ago. And then in verse 25, he says, I'm going to cleanse you with water. In verse 26, I'm going to give you a new heart, a new spirit. Go to Jeremiah 31:31. You'll see about that. And then you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a scene in John 3 where Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, hey, Jesus, you're awesome. It's so great. I'm glad I'm with you. And he says, you need to be born again. And Nicodemus says, oh, now, wait a minute. I'm kind of big. My mom's womb, I don't think I'll fit in there. What are you talking about, Jesus? And he says, you need to be born again of the water and the Spirit. And he says, you should know this. You're the teacher of Israel. You know, for about 25 years, I thought Jesus was being kind of harsh. I mean, how's Nicodemus supposed to know you got to be born again of the water and the Spirit? Well, how about he should have read Ezekiel 36 there. What do you think? All right? Yeah. He's supposed to be the expert. So if you didn't know about Ezekiel 36, that's okay. But, you know, Nicodemus, he really needs to know about that. He really needs to know about that. And then God in verse 29 and 30 says, I'm going to give you so many blessings. I'm going to put life into you, and I'm going to give you so many blessings. But when I do, you still need to loathe your sin. All right, you can't forget where you came from, folks. We need to keep hating sin. Because if we don't, we're going to go back in the same place. And we're going to be back in dry bones again. That's some of us
just recently. But you know what? God specializes in hopeless situations. So you know what you need to do if you've been caught up in some slavery? How about if you just read the word of the Lord? And drink the water that is the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 32 he says, in case they forgot, he said it in verse 22. Then he says it in verse 32. I'm not doing this because you're so awesome. So since he said it twice, I'm saying it three times, all right? Just to make sure. I love this section here starting in verse 33 though. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. On that day, I will cleanse you from all your sins. I will resettle your towns and the ruins. What ruins? The ruins of your life. Because our lives were a ruin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But God wants to resettle those ruins. That's what he wants to do. The desolate land will be cultivated instead of lying desolate in the sight of all those who pass through it. They will say, this land that was laid waste has become like the Garden of Eden. That's what, remember we said in our kingdom lesson, if you want to understand the kingdom of God, just go back to the garden. And God wants to make your life like the Garden of Eden. But remember, it's already but not yet. All right, we're still working on it. We're kind of a work in progress. But you are becoming the Garden of Eden, a lush place with much fruit. That is what God is doing in you. Then the nations around you and your next door neighbor and the person sitting in the chair next to you in your classroom will know,
amen,
that I, the Lord, have rebuilt what was destroyed.
Wow.
We need to share our testimony.
Yeah.
We got some pretty great testimonies around here. Let's go back to Ezekiel 37. Got to finish out our lesson here. There's a lot of hope. I love Ezekiel 37. And by the way, then there's Ezekiel 38 and 39, the whole Gog and Magog thing. Now, that's another sermon. That's a great one. I love Gog and Magog. Actually, I hate Gog and Magog. They're really bad, but, you know, I love God and I hate, you know, you get what I'm saying, right? All right, good. So we're back in Ezekiel 37. All right. Verse 21 through 28. So I'm skipping 15 through 20 about the two sticks. That's about bringing unity between the northern and southern kingdom. No, that's not the Book of Mormon in the Bible. That's what Mormons say. The two sticks are, what? Never mind all that stuff. All right, anyway, 22. I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. There will be one king over all of them. Are you getting the picture?
Yeah.
One king over all of them. And they will never again be two nations or be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols and vile images, or with any of their offenses, for I will save them from all their sinful backsliding. And I will cleanse them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David, do you know who he's talking about here? My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. They will follow my laws, and they will be careful to keep my decrees. Hint, hint, hint. Follow my laws, keep my decrees, all right? He's kind of saying what's going to happen, and if it's not, then probably make it happen, all right? Got it, folks? All right. I lost my place. Ah, yeah, 25. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, the land where your ancestors lived. They and their children and their children's children will live there forever. And David, my servant, will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It'll be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers. I will put my sanctuary among them forever.
My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy when my sanctuary is among them. Is he talking about Israel? Is he talking about the church? Is he talking about you and me? Is he talking about heaven in the future? He's talking about all those things. Because like I said, it's already but not yet. This is a messianic prophecy. And who's this David he's talking about? It's Jesus. He says there's going to be one nation. There's going to be one king. He says, I will save them. I will cleanse them. And my servant David will be king over them. Jesus, he is our king. He says, I'm going to make a new covenant. And he says, they're going to be my people. And Hosea, you know the story of Hosea, right? He had a one child and the kid's name was Not My People. And then he had another kid and the kid's name was Not Mercy. Terrible names, right? Terrible names. Of course, his wife's name was Gomer. That's not the best name either. But in Hosea 2:23, prophesies that you will be my people and you will receive mercy. And he says here in this prophecy that I will live among you. Jesus came and he lived among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the one and only Son. And he says, as God lives in us, we will become a testament to God and to what God will do. Let's finish by reading Isaiah 65. We'll just read it, maybe make a brief comment. I believe I read this a couple weeks ago, but I want to read it again. I just want us to get the picture of what God is doing to us as a church, what he's doing to us as individuals. Isaiah 65, starting in verse 17. See, I'll create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in what I will create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and crying will be heard no more. Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. The one who dies at 100 will be thought a mere child. The one who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen ones will long enjoy the work of their hands. They will not labor in vain, nor will they bear children doomed to misfortune. For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before I call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like the ox. The dust will be like the serpent's food. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. Can these bones live?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters and visitors, let us hear the word of the Lord.
Yes.
And let us do what it says. And then if we repent and are baptized, we'll receive the Holy Spirit and God will make us alive. And even if you're already saved, let's face it. We go through dry bone valleys every once in a while, don't we? You know what? It kind of works the same way. You got to hear the word of the Lord. You have to loathe your sin. And God will come in and he'll build new walls. And it will be a tremendous blessing. The lion will die down with the lamb. And we will live with God forever. Thank you very much.
Marin, but for my Latino brothers and sisters, it's pronounced Nora Marin. So. Just to let you know. I'm doing the Hope Contribution this morning, and I watched just to get encouraged and